I'm going to give you some tips just in case you don't know how to tell if you're having a rotten day or not, okay? In case you can't tell. You wake up face down on the pavement. If you do that, you know you're going to have a rotten day. You call suicide prevention and they put you on hold. You see 60 Minutes news team waiting in your office. Here's a good one. Your birthday cake collapses from the weight of the candles. You turn on the news and they're showing emergency routes out of the city. This is my favorite. Your horn goes off accidentally and remains stuck as you follow a group of Hell's Angels on the freeway. You know you're going to have a bad day. Your boss tells you not to bother to take off your coat. The bird singing outside your window is a buzzard. You call your answering service and they tell you it's none of your business. And given the state of our government, your income tax check bounces. Or your wife says, "Good morning, Bill," and your name is George. Well, if you turn in your Bibles to Matthew 15, there's the lady who is having a very bad day. We're going to be reading about her, just one place here, Matthew 15. Beginning with verse 21. Matthew 15, verse 21. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." But Jesus answered her not a word. It doesn't sound like Jesus, does it? Jesus is the one who, you know, is friends to everybody, to little children, and he's been going all over Palestine healing, and now when she comes and asks him, he doesn't say a word. Jesus was probably her last hope, you know, and he wasn't talking to her. Now, this woman has a few strikes against her. Number one, she was a woman. And even in Asia today, but definitely back then, a woman is not considered, is more considered of a possession than a person. And the man, you know, the husband has pretty much absolute rights over whatever happens to his wife. So, you know, this, it's not like the nobleman comes and asks Jesus. It's just a woman. You know, to the disciples thinking it's just a woman. Jesus was probably right in not answering or talking to her. So one strike, she's a woman. Second strike, what was she? She's a Canaanite. And guess what? Israel didn't like Canaanites. You can read the first 6-7 chapter of books in the Bible, and we find Israel fighting and actually exterminating Canaanites. And I think that if, you know, if you talk to a few of the Jews at that time, they would probably still say they're not lacking for people who believe they should have finished the job. You know, they look down at them. They're pagans. They actually considered them, you know, beneath humanity. So she's a woman, she's a Canaanite woman, and what is she doing? She's screaming. I don't know about crying out, you know, I think we could say screaming, crying out loud. There's something about a baby that just, you know, my apologies, Chris and Misty, but something just about a crying of a baby that sets your teeth on edge. My son, John had a colic for the first couple of years of his life, and he just cried nonstop. And I'm telling you, I'm glad I didn't do it, but I really wanted to just throttle him and close that noise off, you know? It's designed to irritate you, I think, for the mother to do something. Well, this woman, she's a woman, she's a Canaanite, and she's screaming. I mean, that's about the whole package of something that would put you on edge. You know, the disciples had put this Canaanite woman kind of in a box. You know, she wasn't worthy of Jesus' attention. You know, she should be ignored. I mean, after all, what if people saw Jesus talking to a Canaanite, you know? Why didn't he just send her away, but he just stands there? Dodie Gradient was a school teacher for 13 years, and she decided to travel across America and see the sites that she had been teaching her students about. So all alone, she had an old Chevy truck. She hooked it up to her beat-up camper, and she went out to see the sites of the U.S. One afternoon, she was running a curve on I-5 near Sacramento in rush hour traffic, and her water pump went out. She was tired, exasperated, scared, alone. In spite of the traffic, you know, people just whizzing around her, they weren't stopping to help her. She seemed very alone, even though there was thousands of vehicles going by. So leaning against the trailer, she said, "Please, God, send me an angel, and preferably one with mechanical experience." 4 minutes later, this big Harley pulls up. This huge man with long black hair, beard, tattooed skin. He jumped off his bike, and without even glancing at Dodie, he just lifted the lid and started working. In a few minutes, he flags down another truck, and he hooks up a chain, and he tows the whole rig, you know, with the trailer and truck is about 56 feet long, and he towed them off the freeway into a side street, and he kept on working. The school teacher was too dumbfounded to talk, and especially when she read this words on the back of his leather jacket. They said, "Hell's Angels, California." As he finished the task, he finally got up the courage and said, "Oh, thank you so much." And noticing her surprise, he looked her straight in the eye and he said, "Don't judge a book by its cover. You may not know who you're talking with." And with that, he jumped on his Harley and drove off with the truck fixed. Given half a chance, I think people often crawl out of the boxes we try to stuff them in. The disciples were stuffing the Canaanite lady into a box. But you know, the Gospel of Matthew has a different take on it. Verse 24, the disciples said, or 23, his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." But he answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then she came and worshipped him, probably down on her knees, and said, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. You know, this passage is about the faith of a Canaanite lady. In fact, it's the only story in the book of Matthew where Jesus calls it great faith. She's the only Gentile woman Jesus healed. And compare that with how many times he told his disciples, "O ye of little faith," you kind of see how unique she is. I think this lady teaches us four things about faith. I know my dad said 3 points. Well, we're going to have 4 quick ones. Number one, desperation often leads to true faith. Desperation often leads to true faith. It doesn't begin with us knowing about her great faith. It begins in desperation. She has a child who's demon-possessed. We don't know what that means. We know other demon-possessed people, like the demoniacs, you know, they cut themselves and with chains. They lived in the tombs. There was another one Jesus healed who the demons would throw him into the fire. Probably something along those lines. You know, the demons were just taking this child and possessing her, you know, cruelly. Probably insane behavior, you know, seizures, whatever. The mother had probably tried everything that she could, you know, the doctors and the best medical advice of the day and all that. And now she just had one little hope left, and that is the hope in the Messiah. Faith in God tends to make great optimists. I don't know if you know him, but there's a great missionary, Adoniram Judson, who worked for, I believe it was like 23 years without a single convert in Burma. He was put in jail. He's lying in a jail with 32 pounds of chains on his ankles and his feet bound to a bamboo pole. And a fellow prisoner said, Dr. Judson, what about the prospect of the conversion of the heathen now? He had this sneer on his face. And Judson instantly said, the prospects are just as bright as the promises of God. Amen. I don't know if I could say that, but I want to be that way. And I think that's what this Canaanite woman hoped. You know, when Jesus didn't say anything, she still hoped in the promises of God. Desperation often leads to true faith. The second one, we need faith without shame. When Hudson Taylor, he's another one of my heroes, he went to China. He went there on a sailing vessel, and it was going through a channel in the Malay Peninsula there, on its way, right by Sumatra, on its way to China. And it's on a sailing vessel, and the wind died. And the current started to set them towards part of Indonesia there, and Malaysia, sorry. And there was a reef right there, as well as the island they were heading towards had cannibals. And he's in his state cabin, and he hears this knock on the door, and he opens it up and hears the captain, and the captain says, can I talk with you? And he says, sure, you know, come on in. The captain says, you know, we don't have any wind, and we're drifting to this island that's cannibals. There's a reef. We may, you know, tear the boat up. And Taylor said, well, what do you want from me? And he said, I want you to pray to your God that there'll be wind. And Taylor said, all right, I'll pray for wind, but captain, I want you to set the sail. The captain says, set the sail? There's no wind. I just told you there's no wind. And the sailors would think I'm stupid, you know. I'll be the laughing stock, and I'm supposed to be the captain. Taylor said, if you set the sail, I'll pray. Otherwise, I won't pray. So the captain went out and set the sail, and Taylor got down on his knees and started praying. 45 minutes later, the captain returned and found the missionary still on his knees. He says, you can stop praying now. We have more wind than we know what to do with. It takes a faith that's not ashamed. The Canaanite woman was without faith, without shame. Many times we are kind of afraid to let our faith show. You know, we don't want to stand out. We don't want to, you know, be impolite. And, you know, we don't want to talk religion maybe. And sometimes we don't want the added scrutiny of people. Oh, you're a Christian. Yeah, and check you out. It's easier just to be quiet, isn't it? But this lady was different. You know, she lived out a faith that came from nothing to lose. She tried everything. And when Jesus was silent, she remained where she was. In fact, she came and knelt down and worshiped. Notice she didn't just shout, she screamed. Her cry is as desperate as the faith she had that Jesus was the one who could make a difference. She didn't care whether the disciples would approve of her or not. She knew they didn't approve of her. She's a Canaanite. She knew that they didn't like women. And that, you know, she's approaching strangers who are men. She would stand out like a sore thumb. It didn't matter. What mattered to her was to get to Jesus. I think this should make us think about our faith. You know, does it come out of desperation? Does our faith rise out of a confidence that Jesus is the only one who can bring meaning to our lives? The only one who can bring spiritual, emotional healing? Or is it just a casual faith kind of thing, something we're supposed to have? The Canaanite woman's faith was without shame because she knew Jesus was her only hope, and she didn't care what others expected. And I think that's the same for us. Jesus is our only hope. And we shouldn't care what other people think. Number three, she had faith without a fear. She cried out. Jesus didn't say a word, just silence. You know, at this point, the disciples and, you know, kind of get a little uncomfortable and they're shuffling their feet and they finally say, Jesus, you know, why don't you just heal her daughter and so she'll go away, you know? And just leave us alone. I mean, it's embarrassing to see her crying and screaming. Everybody's looking, Jesus, you know? And what does Jesus say? Well, I was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I mean, talking about a blow to the face. You know, if I was the woman, I'd probably just said, oh, thank you, Jesus, and pick up and leave. But no, she remains there and starts to argue with Jesus, in fact. With nothing to lose, she showed a relentless dependence on Jesus. A relentless dependence on Jesus. I think that's what we're going to have to strive for. We got to have a relentless dependence on Jesus. Without shame, without fear, she falls at Jesus' feet and says, help me. This woman didn't let Jesus' lack of response stop her. And I think the same applies to us too. We shouldn't, if we don't immediately get the answer to our prayers, it shouldn't affect our faith at all. In fact, it should strengthen it. Because we know that Jesus heard and answered. It may not be like we want. And the fourth thing, we need a faith that won't quit. He says, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and she said, Lord, help me. She just kind of ignored that. And it's not, Jesus says, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. And if you look at the Greek, yeah, it's really puppy. It's Jesus is talking about the family pet, you know, that it's not good to take the children's food and feed it to the puppies. And she said, true, but even the puppies get to eat. And I think that she probably, Jesus is probably grinning, you know. And he reaches out his hand and he says, you know, great is your faith, woman, your daughter is healed. I think he was just testing her. He wanted to see how firm her faith was. How often do we find ourselves at Jesus' feet? this is where the story ends, and I don't know what the disciples were thinking. Maybe Jesus reminded them of what he previously taught. But I think that they got the message. Because if we find out later that, you know, every single disciple that Jesus had, save one, John, was martyred for their faith. I think they saw the kind of faith living out in a person that they actually envied. They saw a great faith that was embodied by her, a faith that didn't quit with asking, a faith that wasn't ashamed to seek diligently after Jesus, a faith that wasn't afraid to keep knocking even in the face of no response. I think those are the things that we have to have. Do we have a faith that won't quit? Or do we have a faith that gives up when we don't see a quick response? The disciples left that place after having seen a faith that wouldn't quit. May God grant us a faith that's so great that it won't give up in the face of uncertainties, or a faith that seeks Jesus Christ relentlessly, and a faith so great it believes God's blessings are too big for just one nation. It's good enough for the whole world. And a faith so great that it never quits. May God grant us the faith of a woman who had nowhere else to turn except to worship at Jesus' feet. Father, we ask for that kind of faith, the faith that grabs a hold of you no matter what happens to us, no matter what the devil throws at us, Father, that we're going to remain hand in hand with our Savior Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter if we're on, no matter what we are in life, or no matter where we're standing, as long as we have Jesus, we're safe. And give us that relentless faith to keep hold of Jesus, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.